and began to boil. From my high vantage I could see a thick, oily smoke slowly filling the bottom of the well. It didn't behave like fog or smoke at all. Its edges didn't diffuse. It pooled and hung together like a tiny dark cloud. Manet tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked at him just in time to avoid being blinded by the initial burst of flame as the cloud caught fire. There were dismayed noises from all around, and I guessed most of the others had been caught unaware. Manet grinned at me and gave a knowing wink. "Thanks," I said, and turned back to watch. Jagged flames danced across the surface of the fog, colored a bright sodium red. The additional heat made the dark fog boil faster, and it swelled until the flames were licking towards the top of the waist-high lip of the firewell. Even from where I stood on the catwalk, I could feel a gentle heat on my face.
"What the hell do you call that?" I asked him quietly. "Fire fog?"
"We could," he responded. "Kilvin would probably call it an atmospherically activated incendiary action." The fire flickered and died all at once, leaving the room filled with the acrid smell of hot stone.
"In addition to being highly corrosive," Kilvin said, "in its gaseous state, the reagent is flammable. Once it warms sufficiently, it will burn on contact with air. The heat that this produces can cause a cascading exothermic reaction."
"Cascading huge goddamn fire," Manet said.
"You're better than a chorus,"
I said softly, trying to keep a straight face. Kilvin gestured.
"This container is designed to keep the agent cold and under pressure. Be mindful while it remains in the workshop. Avoid excessive heat in its immediate vicinity."
With that, Kilvin turned and headed back into his office.
"That's it?"
I asked. Manet shrugged.
"What else needs to be said? Kilvin doesn't let anyone work here unless they're careful, and now everyone knows what to be careful of."
"Why is it even here?" I asked. "What's it good for?"
"Scares the hell out of the first timers," he grinned.
"Anything more practical than that?"
"There is plenty practical," he said. "But you can use it to make a different type of emitter for sympathy lamps. You get a bluish light instead of the ordinary red. A little easier on the eyes. Fetch outrageous prices."
I looked down into the workshop, but couldn't see Fela anywhere in the milling bodies. I turned back to Manet.
"Want to keep playing dutiful mentor and show me how?"
He absently ran his hands through his wild hair and shrugged.
"Sure."
I was playing at Anchors later that night when I caught the eye of a beautiful girl sitting at one of the crowded tables in the back. She looked remarkably like Denna, but I knew that to be nothing more than my own fancy. I hoped to see her enough that I had been catching glimpses of her out of the corner of my eye for days. My second glance told me the truth. It was Denna, singing along with half the folk in Anchors to Drover's Daughters. She saw I was looking in her direction and waved. Her appearance caught me so much by surprise that I completely forgot what my fingers were doing and my song fell to pieces. Everyone laughed, and I took a grand bow to hide my embarrassment. They cheered and booed me in equal amounts for a minute or so, enjoying my failure more than they had the song itself. Such is human nature. I waited for their attention to drift away from me, then made my way casually to where Denna was sitting. She stood to greet me.
"I'd heard you were playing on this side of the river," she said. "I can't imagine how you keep the job if you fall apart every time a girl gives you a wink."
I felt myself flush a little.
"It doesn't happen that often. The winking or the falling apart?"
Unable to think of a response, I felt myself flush redder, and she laughed.
"How long will you be playing tonight?"
she asked.
"Not much longer,"
I lied. I owed Anchor at least another hour. She brightened.
"Good. Come away with me afterward. I need someone to walk with."
Hardly believing my good luck, I made a bow to her. "At your service, certainly. Let me go and finish up." I made my way to the bar where Anchor and two of his serving girls were busy pulling drinks.